It's time for the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by Compos, your home for fun in the great outdoors. And now your host, Craig Compo.
Miss Anderson?
Yeah.
Anderson, this here is R.D. Mercer. I'm over here at Silsby.
Yes, sir.
Staying at my cousin Joyce's house.
Uh-huh.
I understand y'all put in the septic system over here.
Okay, over at whose house now?
At my cousin Joyce's house over in Silsby in Forest Hills Estate there off Craven Camp. Y'all put in the septic system over here.
What's the last name?
My name's Mercer.
Well, okay. Who's
her name's Coffinbach. And I guarantee you, the septic system you put in over here ain't worth a crap.
I don't remember the system.
Well, I guarantee you, I remember it pretty well because we drove in last night from Oklahoma to spend some time with her. And she's having problems with it. And this morning, it backed up all over my boy Raymond. And we've got a situation over here. I'm knee-deep in dookie over here right now.
You are?
Yeah. And foul-smelling water, and it run his Dallas Cowboy satin sweatpants and about a $170 pair of Air Jordans. The way I see it, since you put this crappy system in here, that you's the one gonna pay for this mess or there's gonna be an ass-whooping.
Is that right?
Damn right.
Well, when would you like to try to do that?
I tell you what, Anderson, when that water hit him, it scared him so bad he jumped up sideways and blowed out his knee, I think. He's over here moaning and groaning right now.
Man, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about a crappy septic system. And I'm talking about a mess in the bathroom, and I'm talking about a hurt little boy that's sitting down on the toilet this morning. I'm going to come down there and put something on you that Mr. Clean won't take off.
Well, come on down there.
I guarantee you, I got the red ass. My boy's got the brown one. Where are you at? How can I get down there to where you at? Do I just follow the smell?
Who is
this? It's R.D. by God Mercer from Ardmore, Oklahoma.
Well, I never heard of you.
How long's it been since you've had an old boy from Oklahoma whip your ass?
It's been a long time.
I'm going to put a couple of pop knots on your head in the shape of the wishbone formation, I guarantee you.
You are.
I guarantee I got me about a janitor and a drum full of ass whoop I'm going to get down there and pour on you. And it ain't funny. I am not too thrilled about it. I'll be down there just about as soon as I can get my boy in the ambulance down there. And I'll shut that pie hole for you.
Well, if I knew you were serious, I try to remember what system it is, but I don't know who you are. It's in the Coffinbach house.
Huh? Do you remember the Forest Hills Estate house off of Craven Camp Road?
Forest Hills Estate used to belong to
some boy named LeBlanc?
No, I don't.
Well, I guarantee you, you're getting ready to. I'll bring you a picture of it if you can see it when you're out.
Forest Hills Estate is not on Craven Camp Road.
It's over in here in Salisbury. I don't care where in the hell it is. You put the system in. I got the bill of sale right here, and I'm going to... Where are you?
Hello.
I need to find out how to get down there to your place because I'm.
Let me tell you something.
Let me tell you.
You ask,
what that?
Don't you call here no more.
Hey.
You can talk civil about something. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I'm talking.
First of all, but you ain't gonna call up here and talk to me like I'm some damn. Now you kiss my ass.
Well, I guarantee you now, I ain't gonna.
I'll tell you what. After that, I get through with the job today, I'll meet you in Silsby and I'll give you a chance to do some of that ass whipping you're talking about.
I guarantee you.
Damn fool.
I'll bring it on. Well, I think you got pretty excited betwixt the first call and the second call. That's just speculation. I'm letting him off right now.
Hello.
You know, hell, if I didn't know better, this looks like a job that Rick Weaver had put in.
Who the hell is this?
You've been had.
Hey, Dwayne.
I know I'd been had.
Now,
but I couldn't figure out who was having me.
We're having ourselves a Dwayne smorgasbord. Is your wife Barbara there?
Yeah, she's here now. I'm fixing to get a belt out and whoop her ass.
Oh, don't do that now.
All right. Welcome back, Fairbanks. This is, let me turn this off. This is Craig Compo with the Outdoor Show. coming to you from rainy Fairbanks, Alaska. And I just got back into town. I've been gone 10 days or so. Went back for Abby's dad's 75th birthday party back in a little town called Fence, Wisconsin. About a fraction of the population of Esther. A little town right on the Michigan border. Yeah, it's funny. She was born in Iron Mountain, Michigan, which is 20 minutes from Fence. And so was Urban Rahoy. And Urban's buried in Iron Mountain, Michigan, along with most of his family, his mom and dad and some relatives. So anyway, yeah, it's a neat time. It's too warm back there for me. It was getting pretty. It was 91 and humid when we were leaving. So, it's good to be back in the cool confines of Fairbanks, Alaska. But it's good to be back. I was gone for a Wednesday, so I just had him repeat the last episode last week. I think talked about our store closing and all that good stuff. But so a couple things I want to talk about today a little bit. I was like, just subjects that kind of interest me and interest a lot of friends of mine and just fun stuff to learn about. For example, today I'm going to do a little bit on graphite and a company that's maybe going places in Alaska. And then also want to talk about moose a little bit in the back half of the hour. So anyway, I was at our laundry house gang a few weeks ago, and I asked if anybody knew if the Trump's big, beautiful bill, how it was going to impact Alaska energy and mineral production. You know, are there development incentives? Because it's expensive to get stuff out of the ground up here. It's one of the reasons we haven't had more of it, other than the permitting and the environmental movement and all that stuff pushing back every time they try and turn around. You know, we haven't built a road in Alaska, a new road, since Red Dog 35 years ago, or maybe 40 now. I think it's probably close to 40. But there's a company, that's working on the first real graphite mine in the United States. They haven't had a graphite mine for years. Of course, graphite used in a lot of electric vehicles, battery components, and things like that. So there's even with the recent slowdown in some of the electric car sales, there's still a lot of there's going to be a lot of demand going forward, growth in graphite use. Graphite One is the name of the company. They've got a mine they're working. I think it's about 35 miles from Nome. Could be wrong there, but it's close to Nome. That's the nearest hub there. And this big, beautiful bill, you know, that that got passed, it has access to some key tax credits and federal support, which is kind of good, you know, because we're trying to get our rare earth minerals and our important minerals out of the U.S. and not from China, which is where we get most of them right now. back in, I think it was March of 19, this company, Graphic One, they were planning a graphite mine that would be, it's basically the largest known reserve of graphite in the United States, which is a big, big deal. And it would be the first operating graphite mine, true graphite mine. I mean, there are some companies in, I think, Alabama and maybe Pennsylvania or somewhere that does some graphite resource extraction, but not a full-blown, full-operating graphite mine. It's a big deal. They're talking about over $1 billion in capital expenditures by, I think, 2030, 170 new jobs. That's about 7% of the Nome labor force, where the unemployment rate's about 50% higher than the national average. So a lot of interest in the surrounding villages, and they would get a lot of employment and partnerships with communities like Teller and Brevig Mission and some of the other areas around Nome. So that's kind of exciting. They're expected to produce 175,000 metric tons a year, which is great, because right now China is accounting for 77% of all the mined graphite. So we can put a dent in that, and we should. It's not going to happen overnight, but I think they're talking about 2028 as far as starting their goals for starting production. And then once they build the facility, then they would have qualified for what they call the advanced mining or advanced manufacturing production tax credit. So this goes back to, I think, 2022, where you had some clean energy credits for developing some of these things in the country. And I think that's great. Alaska can lead the way in this, it's a pretty good deal. I checked their stock, Graphite One. I'm not recommending it by any means. It's, I don't know, 50 cents or something around there. But I mean, if it takes off, potentially could be, they're Vancouver based, like a lot of these companies. So there's a real high risk, high speculation. It's nothing you want to dump a ton of money in. But if it works, if they get the go ahead and it's on that fast track list at, I forget what they call it, but there's a fast track list for permitting and everything to get everything moved forward fast under Trump. And so that could, this company could really accelerate their project and potential earnings. So it's like I said, high risk, but interesting to watch. Can't remember the stock symbol, but you can look it up. It's Graphite One is the name of the company, ONE Graphite One. So anyway, that's interesting stuff. There is a boom going on the clean economy, U.S. clean economy. And, there's like $170 billion in investments, 172,000 jobs, 600 projects in 47 states, and coincidentally 77% of them in Republican districts. Funny how that works. They're pretty excited about this project. So that's one of the things I wanted to talk about. The company is a small company, obviously, but this is a big potential move for them. And like I said, it's the lithium's used in graphite's used in a lot of stuff that's growing, battery use and all that. So, and I know the governor's been real aggressive in unlocking mineral and energy resources. The $44 billion LNG pipeline and a lot of these other projects. That Graphite Creek project, I mean, they've upped the estimates from 2022 by threefold. So I think there's 71 million tons estimate. That's a lot of minerals. So anyway, that's going to be an iterating process. They do plan on starting production in 2028. Pending environmental and permitting reviews. So that's kind of a exciting project. There's a lot of these little projects going on around the state, and they're getting some traction right now because of the need to speed the permitting process, which traditionally it's taken 20, 30 years to get some of the stuff permitted. And so some of these companies just don't even bother. They know there's big potential revenue source there. And these are onshore. These are not like offshore projects. These are onshore projects that have a good hub nearby, so it'd be great for the state, be great for the whole western area, the Norton Sound, the Nome area, lots of employment, and again a lot less reliance on China. Trump just put 95% tariffs on graphite out of China, but we have a limited availability of that stuff. There's just not much of it out there, so it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I think that's just one of the things I like to study. I like to look at what's going on with rare earth metals, because the state is loaded with them, and I just hate to see them, the potential missed, and then again we're spending trillions of dollars in the military to fight these bad countries, and part of the reason is because we're at the mercy of these countries for some of our stuff. But anyway, when we get back from the break, we're going to switch gears to moose. We're going from graphite to moose, so kind of a big switch, but I got some interesting statistics and stuff I wanted to talk about moose populations. We'll do that when we get back, so stick around. Craig on the Compo Outdoor Show.
The Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this.
For more than 75 years, the go-to outdoor business in Fairbanks has been Compo's. Bob Compo Sr. first opened the doors on 12th and Cushman in 1945. A lot has changed since then, but one thing hasn't changed: Compo's passion for getting you outdoors. and away from the rat race. And their business philosophy can be wrapped up in a few words Bob Sr. used to say. And that's, treat people right and they'll tell a few others. Treat them poorly and they'll tell a few dozen. Compo, on Boat Street, doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it, sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
All right, Fairbanks, it is, it's fair time, right? It's fair time. You know how good it feels not to have to go load stuff up, move stuff over, set up, have staff over there. You know, we did that for a lot of years in a row, and of course, there's two other big shows, the Outdoor Show and the show in April, and then there's one in October. And it's a lot of work, and it was, you know, pretty lucrative over the years, but it's just a lot of work and staffing, and it's just nice to be able to go as a spectator. I remember the one year we didn't go to the fair, we just decided to take a break, and we had a big sale at the store instead, and we said, you know, rather than going out and having to look at people that, some of which look like they fell face down in a tackle box. Come on out to Compo's and buy some, just shop. We don't have corn dogs, but we got some good deals. So anyway, we had some fun with that the one year. We just decided to take a break from it. But yeah, no, it's good. It's good to get out there and see some of the stuff. I haven't been out this year. Just got back into town and, of course, figured the fair was on. I forgot about it until I got to town and it was raining yesterday. Or no, was it? I got in Tuesday. It was raining. And so it was, it reminded me, oh yeah, the fair must be going on because that is almost a prerequisite there. A lot of drama at the fair this year. I feel bad for the staff there, the organizers. They've had a rough go of it this year, but, you know, a lot of them are volunteers or they're, you know, people get impatient, vendors and everything else. I said, just, you know, realize that they're under a lot of stress and just give them a little space there when things aren't going right. We used to always just kind of say, yeah, it's just what it is. Yeah. Anyway, try and get out there if you can, if you haven't been out there. Want to talk a little bit about moose on the back half of the show here. You know, we're getting ready for moose season. There's an early hunt coming up. I'm going on in August, in late August. Some friends of mine at an undisclosed location, but it's legal. and then we'll do our normal. We hunt the Upper Good Pasture. Really tricky this year because there's a spot up there. There's a log jam that's changed. The whole river's changing, and it's a lot of people just have to turn around there. It's really, really difficult to get past or almost impossible to get past there with any sort of a heavy boat. So that's what's going on up there. Anyway, in the moose, you know, there's 31 states in the U.S. that don't have a moose population, and there's, you know, several in the western states and, of course, Canada that have a lot of moose, or a fair amount or a lot. But I was interested in this. They were mentioning the 31 states that don't have a moose population, and even though there's been some sightings, and I love that word sightings because it seems to me It's almost like Sasquatch or the Abominable Snowman or whatever. It's like a sighting. There was a sighting like Arizona. There's no established populations. Some reports of sightings in the Grand Canyon. Okay. Haven't seen any photos of a moose in the Grand Canyon. Doesn't mean it can't happen. Wouldn't they be hot? Imagine that. It'd be one hot moose. They're already, they're already such a big, furry, sweaty animal. You'd think they'd be the last place they'd want to hang out is the Grand Canyon. Indiana, no more established populations with last sighting in 2010. There was a sighting of a moose in Indiana, okay? A Hoosier moose, okay? Iowa, same thing. There's been recent sightings in recent years in Iowa. Kansas, same thing. No established population, but occasional sightings. Of course, moose migrate, so they can move around. Remember that there's a polar bear in Fort Yukon 10 or 15 years ago, so it's not like they can't show up. They just don't hang out there in numbers, right? So they're moving through or whatever. Missouri, no established population, occasional sightings. Same with Nebraska. Same with New Jersey and New Mexico. New Mexico sounds a little more realistic to me just because of the topography versus New Jersey. I just can't picture a moose over by Atlantic City. But Oklahoma, occasional sightings. Pennsylvania, it says no established population with one rare sighting in the Delaware Water Gap. So some moose disoriented and wandered over to the Delaware Water Gap in Pennsylvania. I have to ask Dunleavy if he's from there, see if he ever saw a moose over there. He's a big hunter, you know. Rhode Island, same thing, occasional sightings. South Dakota, occasional sightings. Virginia, occasional sightings in recent years in Northern Virginia. So, you know, occasionally a moose will wander into that area, but they count them as a zero population. But then there's 19 states that have an active moose population. Alaska, of course, where they estimate the moose population around 200,000, 175 to 200,000. Colorado, about 3,000. About 100 in Connecticut. If I was a moose, I wouldn't want to hang out in Connecticut, especially Danbury. I think that's where Priscilla Farrell is from in Friends of Animals. So I'd be, I guess if you're a moose, you might want to hang out there. So you don't get shot. Idaho, 10 to 12,000 moose. That's one of the bigger numbers on the side over here. Maine, though, 60 to 70,000 moose. So, we've got maybe three times as many moose as Maine, which is actually amazing because Maine's not that big of a state compared to Alaska, but they have 60 to 70,000 moose. So obviously, the topography and the geographic location lends itself to a pretty stable moose population over there. Massachusetts has about 1,000 to 1,500 moose. Michigan, 426. I don't know how recent these data is. Minnesota's got about 3,500 moose. And that seems to make sense. Minnesota's another, northern state that has good environmental, conditions for moose. Missouri, it says low. It doesn't even say how many. It just says rare sightings. But they count it as a moose population state. Montana, somewhere in the 2,300 to 4,600 range. And again, that makes sense to me. Montana, beautiful state, by the way. I always said if I had to live in one of the other states, I would probably be Montana. I really think it's beautiful there and just beautiful little creeks and fly fishing and all that good stuff. Unfortunately, Hollywood's taken it over, buying up all the property and probably the Chinese as well. But Nevada's got 107 moose. New Hampshire is somewhere in the 3,000 to 4,000. That kind of surprises me, but maybe not. I guess that's kind of more like New Jersey. But New Jersey and New Mexico are the low rare sighting states. New York's got somewhere between 500 and 1,000 moose. And North Dakota's somewhere north of 300. 50 in Oregon, and I think there used to be a lot more, but the political environment chased them off. Yeah, too many, probably start moving back if it's defund the wildlife officers. They'll probably start coming back in there. Utah, 2,500 to 3,000 moose. Vermont, a couple thousand. Washington State, about 5,000. Wisconsin, 20 to 40. Now, I was just in Wisconsin for 10 days, or a week anyway. I didn't see a single moose. But wouldn't expect to. Saw a lot of deer. Almost hit one. Really just about hit a little fawn that just mama and a couple fawns were right behind me, and I probably missed it with my rental car by 20 feet. And then Wyoming is the last one, about 3,000 moose. So, yeah, there's a that's kind of the summary on moose, you know, populations, you know, around the around, you know, Canada, of course, has got, I think, I can't remember the numbers. It's a ridiculous amount of moose, Canada. But again, the, you know, environment similar to Alaska, so you're going to get those. The densest population of moose on the planet, Sweden. Sweden has the densest population of moose anywhere. They've got somewhere between 300,000 and 400,000 moose, about 100,000 calves born every year. Every spring, they hunt about 90,000 moose a year. And it's part of Sweden's wildlife management, so that's pretty interesting. Now, they're not big moose. These are all small moose. You don't see any monster moose in Sweden. They can live up to 25 years, though. And most don't reach that age because of, you know, hunting and, you know, car impact and that kind of stuff. Mothers stay with the calves for about a year, you know. But anyway, they, you know, that it's a... It's an interesting population there, and what's kind of cool is you can buy moose in stores there. You can buy, you know, sausage and burger. They actually have a marketing program, it sounds like, and again, there's so many moose that they people can eat them in stores. So that's kind of and that's what you get with the densest population in the world. They're not going to grow real big, so they're you know, there's moose safaris over there. They've been doing that since, I think, 2003. And there's a lot of moose viewing going on. It's a big tourism thing, I guess, over there. We probably, can you imagine going over from Alaska? Yeah, I'd like to go on a moose touring, and you see these moose the size of German Shepherds, and I want my money back. Yeah, that's not a moose. That's a small deer. But, no, I mean, they're not that small, but they don't get anywhere like our moose, you know, Alaska and Canada. And we have the big boys, right? 1,200 pounders or whatever. So anyway, getting ready for moose season coming up. My buddy Kenny Broker's coming up from Hawaii. We're going to go caribou hunting. Bear got into our hunting camp, so we got to go get that fixed up. Second time in 2 years. We got a plan. We got a really good plan this time because it winds up shimmying up a tree and hopping over onto our platform, which is about 5 feet off the ground. It's got to be black bears. And I can't wait to get back up there because I have my game camera on, and this bear shimmied up a tree, leaped over, because I have a ramp with nails, three or 400 screws sticking through it. So anyway, going to be interesting. I'll give you a report on that next week maybe. I've got to try and get up there. I'm going to go down to Kenai, do a fly-in with Talon Air over there. Those guys in Alaska West Air put on they've got some really good stuff. Man, if you want the best fishing trip ever, even they're called a half-day trip, but it seems like a whole day. They're really reasonable. And, you know, you're flying on turbine otters, turbine beavers, over glaciers, down into these Green Lakes and just fishing, having a great time, taking my daughter and her family. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to that. Just living the dream, right, in Alaska, trying to get out more and do some more outdoor stuff. And I'll give you reports on it. It's kind of feel like it's my obligation now. I'm going to go more places and within the state, and then report back. So folks need to, I talked about pelican. Put that on your bucket list, Pelican, Alaska, down by Juneau for some crazy fishing and all that. So anyway, that's it. Talking graphite, talking moose, talking outdoor stuff. That's the Compo Outdoor Show for this week. We will see you in a week. Stick around. Be good.
You have been listening to the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio, streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on the Compos Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.